Lisboa,
Bruxelles,
Berlin,
Warsaw.
Europe is us with Dino.
Europe is us, but who are we? Stay with us and you'll find out. I'm Dino, a journalist from Slovenia, and once again, I'm your host in our Europe is Us podcast, a podcast made by youth for youth. This is season number 3, and this is episode number 46. The topic of the day is A Man's World. The guest of the day is Eliška Volensova from the Czech Republic. Eliška, please do tell us more about yourself.
Absolutely. So my name is Eliška Volensova. I am a journalist and also still a student based in Czech Republic and the capital city in Prague. I work as a leading editor in the European Correspondent, which is a young media startup, but pretty successful, I'm happy to say. I'm also freelancing, so working on multiple different projects, and a lot of them is somehow related to the European Union, so mostly like Europe-oriented.
And if the two of us stay in the newsroom, what is it like there? How many female journalists do you see around yourself? What is the situation like in your field?
Yeah, this is a big topic in the journalistic sphere, I would say. The biggest problem that I see that in the like junior positions or like regular positions, the percentage is pretty equal, more or less. But then the higher you go in the hierarchy, the less equal it gets. And suddenly there are like mostly men in the top positions, which is definitely a problem that we should navigate. But it is still persisting, unfortunately. But yeah, a lot of women go into journalism, but then a lot of them also face the question of dilemma when deciding between starting a family or, you know, pursuing a very demanding career, which journalism definitely is. Like, it is a very time consuming and energy consuming job, at least if you want to do it properly. So at some point, most of female journalists have to decide like where they want to put their energy.
And Eliška, do you think that there's more to why women don't go for positions of power than the question of choosing a family before career or being afraid of employers' actions when it comes to that? Maybe things like harassment?
Yeah, definitely. That is also another problem. We actually did have some research published that was conducted like in the newsrooms around Czech Republic, and it was quite surprising. I don't remember the numbers exactly, but I was very surprised like how high the number was, that actually a lot of female journalists experience some sort of sexual harassment or similar unacceptable behavior from their colleagues or boss. So it is a big problem. And so it is good that now finally it is at least being discussed more. So it is more brought to the light and we can address it a bit better. But it will take a lot of time to actually like solve this issue completely.
Jumping around Europe, as we always do, this time from the Czech Republic and from me, from Slovenia, to Belgium, to hear from Petra Meyer, a political scientist from the University of Antwerp.
Le nombre de femmes a augmenté à travers le temps. Le premier Parlement européen, les premières élections européennes étaient en 1979. Il y avait 15% des femmes.
The number of women in politics has increased over time. In the first European Parliament, the first European elections were in 1979, there were 15% of women. Currently, in the European Parliament, there are more or less 40% of female deputies, therefore 60% of men and 40% of women, which is rather exceptional compared to the member states of the European Union. It is often said that women come to power when there is no more power left, in the sense that if an organization, an institution, a company, loses power, this is where we see women rise in the hierarchy and take part in leadership. The European Parliament is at this level a very interesting institution because since its creation, it has gained a lot of power and at the same time the number of women has increased. We could say that it has almost tripled over the 9 legislatures we have had so far. And at that level, it's really one of the great exceptions that we know of in this type of system.
Qu'on a eu jusqu'à présent. Et à ce niveau-là, c'est vraiment une des grandes, grandes exceptions qu'on connaît dans ce genre de système.
Back to the Czech Republic, back to Eliška. A shift to politics now. We heard from Petra and we heard the numbers. Are women now pursuing political careers more than before? And what is it like in your country, if we could compare the numbers? How many female politicians do you have in the Czech Republic working on the national level?
Yeah, this is very interesting because I looked into it and I compared the numbers in the European Parliament and then in the Czech National Parliament. And in the European Parliament, there is currently like nearly 40% of female MPs, which is already pretty good. Of course, it is still not at the goal of the 50-50 percentage, but it's definitely closer to that. And in the Czech Republic, in our national parliament, there is currently only 25% of women in the parliament, which is definitely not a lot. And it is obvious that the representation is by far not equal, since there is over 50% of women in the society as a whole. So that speaks for itself, I think. But it is still like the best number that we've ever had. Like in the past years, the percentage of women MPs in the parliament was even lower than this. So it is actually a success. But as you can tell, it is still not very sufficient. And I think that it's very important that we support women to go into politics and that we try to make the political environment a bit more welcoming and friendly for them, because like the experience and the research has shown that gender mixed teams are generally more effective and more beneficial for the prosperity of the society, because obviously women have quite a different life experience compared to their male counterpart. So it's very, very crucial that this perspective is being equally represented also on the top political level. And so we should totally keep supporting women to be present in the politics and make the environment more open to them, because so far it is still mostly man-dominated area.
And I'm thinking, how could we achieve a bigger number of women holding positions of power? Could it be with flexible hours, maybe kindergarten access?
Yeah, I think there are like multiple approaches how to improve the numbers of female representatives. And one of them would be obviously the official one, which means gender quotas, which are already in place in certain states, and they've shown pretty effective. So that is one way. But for example, in Czech Republic, like this solution is not very supported by the public. Then, of course, the other option would be to improve the conditions so that we would motivate women to be more active in politics. And that those are exactly the things that you mentioned, like flexible working hours or support with taking care of the children, like kindergarten access and so on. So that would definitely help a lot. And then I want to mention pretty nice example from the Czech environment, which I observed during the last national elections, which we had a couple of years back, 2021. Mm-hmm. And that was like a civil society initiative, which there was an organization that was mostly active on social media, and they ran a pretty successful campaign, awareness raising campaign, which basically encouraged people to put their preferential votes to female candidates. And they explained why women should be more represented in the top politics, what are the obstacles, what we as regular voters can do about that. And it was quite successful, and it led to the highest percentage of female representatives in the parliament. So The civil society activities are also very important in this sense, I would say.
And when you're a public personality, like a journalist or a politician, there's always hate around you. You just can't go by hate speech nowadays, especially on the internet. Do you believe that women are receiving more hate speech?
Definitely. Just last week I had an interview with one of the Czech ministers, and we also touched upon this issue. And we both agreed that this is a big problem, that especially like female politicians are being literally bullied for their physical appearance very often, that they are being targeted for the way they look. It's being discussed like in the tabloid media a lot as well on social media, because it's obviously the easiest way how to criticize someone, even though it's also the lowest possible way. Yeah, so this is something that women face definitely more than men, and it's very, very sad because that's just something that shouldn't be acceptable at all in the society. But unfortunately, the phenomenon is quite big. Yeah, so the hate culture against women in public positions is very, very strong, and we should be able to address that, but it's very hard to tackle, especially since social media allow this sort of content to be widespread very easily.
And now we're traveling once again from the Czech Republic to Portugal to hear from Leonor Caldeira, an activist and lawyer. She's going to say a few words about quotas. Quotas are instrumental to the change in mentality we want to bring. We introduced the quotas and it seems that the parties have washed their hands of it. I'm going to fulfill the minimum and I don't want to worry about it anymore. It really shouldn't be like that. In other words, the quotas are almost like braces. It's an instrument to correct something, but then you have to wear the retainer and do all the maintenance on your teeth, which is, in essence, to combat this gender inequality. Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about gender ideology and indoctrinating children. Quite frankly, I don't think the state is axiologically neutral. It has values, and in a democratic state governed by the rule of law, one of the values that we should be most aware of is gender equality. Women and men should have equal rights, opportunities, and duties under the law. So, Eliška, quotas are a part of our life and the democracy around us nowadays. Enough female leaders as idols, maybe as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is absolutely crucial to have role models of this kind. And I also can say that from my personal perspective, from the journalistic sphere, like when I was at the very beginning of my career, I definitely was looking for female role models that already had the experience of what it is like to be a female journalist in the current society. And yeah, this ex sharing of this experience was very, very important for me. So I can imagine that it works exactly the same way for someone who is interested in politics and want to pursue a political career. Then they definitely would appreciate like experienced women that already know what it is all about and that can share some advice and inspire.
A few more personal questions for you, Eliška. What is your favorite memory?
Well, that is a very hard question, but the first thing that came to my mind is last summer when I went to Spain to take my first surf classes, and I rented a van together with my boyfriend, and we did like a beautiful road trip, sleeping in the van, traveling in the van, just, you know, doing a road trip along the coast. And that's definitely one of my most favorite recent memories.
Sounds like a nice one. And your biggest fear?
Ooh, my biggest fear. I would say ending up being completely alone, like isolated. That's something that I fear the most. Yeah.
Nah, you won't be alone. Come on. And your biggest wish?
I would definitely wish for people being kinder to each other, and that also relates to the topic that we just discussed. So I'm wishing for the society overall to be more open-minded and more respectful towards individual members.
Thank you very much, Eliška. And thank you all for your attention. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and listen to what we have to say, because Europe is us.
Lisboa, Brussels, Berlin, Warszawa.